You know, it'd be interesting. Did you guys ever read my interview with Richard Garfield? I ended up catching up with him and submitted. You can find it in the files in the CCG. I've ended up. A colleague of mine where I work used to work at Wizards of the Coast, and somehow he got onto the subject and he said, you know, I can ask some questions of Richard Garfield. But I got him an email and I submitted a list of questions to him, and then I asked him if I could, like edit the results and publish them, and he said yes. So it's available in the CCG, and he said some very interesting things about what happened with the design and like the level of work that was done. And I think what struck me the most was that Wizards didn't put their best, like the best effort on Battletech as compared to Magic, because they realized fairly early that there's no gain to be made, because the dominant aspect of the market was the format, not the IP. And so that if Battletech CCG had a lot of success, the business it would end up cannibalizing was Magic, because the format itself was the dominant format. And so what were they even doing there? And that was, I think, one of the reasons that they stopped doing it. Which actually, it's interesting. It sounds like you guys are a good example of why that's true. Like, it sounds like you were mostly in it for the competitive CCG scene, not specifically for the fun stompy robot action.
No, I'm both.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely I'm MechForce North America, baby.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm certainly a hardcore nerd gamer and definitely an alpha gamer. So I was there for both aspects.
Gotcha.
I could have chosen other card games, and I did later on. I played the, you know, Lord of the Rings, Versus System,
Right.
Warcraft. I'm now back to Magic because all of those other games are dead, but I played a bunch of other games in between, and I specifically played BattleTech because I played the miniature games for almost 10 years.
Is that also true of you, Terry, or were you more just the CCG
Oh, it's the CCG and the competition. I wanted to go out and be a world champion or something, and I said, you know, this is the game.
Awesome.
Nice.
That as well.
Right. So to get back to what the previous topic. So I've been involved in the CCG community in a sort of insignificant way since about 2015, 16, when we saw the Yahoo group was dying. Peter Tremko started the Facebook group. I joined with him pretty early on. We were, we co-admined, and I spent a fair amount of time, evangelizing and bringing folks back to it. I've noticed that there are basically the community breaks down along three different types of players in the current day. So I'm interested in, I guess it comes up because the reason why it comes up because of Sandhurst is because it comes up in the context of changing, how you change something and whether you change it, right? Because I think I and many people agree that the metagame was left in an unfortunate state at the end of Crusade. There were certain things that worked too well. I remember Gustav telling me about how this, he showed you his Task Force Serpent Star League deck that was just very silly. Like, it's trivially easy to errata it. It's not, and it's very easy to fix. But the community seems to break down around the question of change in three places. So the first group are what I call like the statics. Their position is like the game is what it is. It's perfectly fine the way it is. I love going back to the good old days and playing BattleTech CCG. There's no particular reason to change anything. And if something is broken, just avoid it and move on, right? So that's one position. The second position I call the revolutionaries. I would give Peter as an excellent example of this. Their response to the issues in the game, such as, for example, unit costing. I don't know if you guys have seen the card converter where John Ivars and later myself sort of broke down how you build a mech from the tabletop to the card game. and the pricing of mix is a bit broken, right?
Especially the big mix.
Well, the way it breaks down is, so very simply, the way it breaks down is you pay half a resource for structure, one resource for attack, two-thirds of a resource for armor, one resource per speed boost above slow, but then every unit gets 5 free points. And so the idea is that if you imagine the way magic works, right, a 1-1 costs 1, a 2-2 costs 2, a 3-3 costs 3, right? But now if you look at it in the Battletech world, imagine what it would be like if a 3-3 costs 1, a 4-4 costs 2, and a 5-5 costs 3. All of a sudden, everything sort of biases down, right? Because why would you pay 3 for a 5-5 when you could pay 1 for a 3-3? And so this is where like the dominance of swarm decks tends to come in, like the Uller deck or the Davian Light, cheap mech deck or what have you. And so a revolutionary would look at this problem and say, like, it's broken, you have to start again. And they either rebuild the card system or rebuild the rule system to get to something that works, right? The bones are done, you have to try again. And the third group, which is where I put myself, is the evolutionary. My personal opinion is that you can keep most of the cards as they are, and you can keep the rules pretty much as they are, but you can compensate by fixing a few key cards, and then you can add a bunch of cards that compensate the meta and like move forward instead of replace or stay where you are. And so I think when it comes to organizing structured play among the existing Battletech players, I think we keep sort of falling down along these lines where the static players will say, just run a tournament. What are you worried about? The revolutionary folks will say, there's no point to this. It's broken. Everybody knows what works the best. And the evolutionaries will say, well, if you'll just use my errata these extra systems, we can smooth it out. And we never end up going anywhere because we just go round and round in circles. I'm interested to know what your opinions are as folks who are A, extremely experienced, and B, sort of have been outside this particular discussion, probably never really thought about it.
Terry?
So I actually did read that article on unit costing. I don't remember where I read it, but I did see it. The problem with the unit costing is not so much that you get 5 free, but rather that the additional units aren't really that valuable. If you were to increase the what you get per unit cost, very quickly your trade-off curve would flatten again, right? Mm. So, but maybe it should be 4 free instead of 5, those sorts of things. To me, I think for Battletech, the game isn't fundamentally broken. I think that an evolutionary approach would actually work. And I think Magic has done that well. So Night Sky got revamped. It was just too powerful and was appearing in all decks. And you can move things up. You can drop, like, I have 12 zero cost cards in my 98 championship deck. Maybe you restrict those to 4 or 2 each or something like that. You make some relatively simple changes. You avoid changing a lot of cards. Then you introduce cards that are better for the meta. So, if Big Macs are the problem, introduce some cheaper Big Macs and move on, right? I think that's actually good enough to work on it. A game that does this well is Hearthstone, which I think is a really fun, online game by Blizzard. And in their Battlegrounds sort of 8-player little mini tournament that they do, they're constantly tweaking the heroes. So they have a hero. It's a really cool idea, but it costs 3 to use that power. They say, oh, that's too much. So first it costs 4, then it costs 3, then it costs 2, and now it costs 0, right? They're just like, we want you to play this minion. And they just keep changing the costs until people start to play those cards. They track what the win rates are, and then they try to balance out all the heroes. And I think that actually works extremely well and can maintain interest, right?
The challenge with that, by the way, has always been authority, right? The question is, who are you to make a change? Right. If you're the guys who actually publish the game, like you have the fiat, you do whatever you want. The challenge with the evolutionary approach has always been there are inevitably decisions that you want to make that some people disagree with, and you end up splitting people. And the real challenge with splitting people is that, unlike Magic, where there are so many Magic players, there just aren't that many Battletech players. And if you split people to below critical mass, like you fucked it up. You've done something wrong.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know that there's any like one set of rules I could say, yeah, hey, here's what we'll do it. But ideally, you can set up something that has a reasonable consensus between the three groups, makes the smallest number of changes, like perhaps as simple as you reduce the number of the problematic cards to four, even. So you say, okay, so you can still play your deck, but only four Royal Sandhurst Academy. I can decide if I still want to play that or not. Many times the deck will play the same, and a bunch of times I won't draw the card as often, right? Four is the limited magic anyways, and people do play combo cards. So I think if you can create a reasonable set like that, give it a name, and have, you know, tournaments go with that thing, so you only have like a couple variants, maybe that's the best that you can do. And then you have to compromise. You play some, you know, just like in Magic, you have some type one tournaments, you have some type two, you've time, you know, whatever, type 1.5, all the different things that go into it. That's my perspective.
Peter, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, see, I think so. Fundamentally for me, one of the problems here is that we're past the point where like tournaments are, I guess, high end to a point where we're talking about thousands of dollars. You guys are actually now a grassroots movement for a game that's essentially dead, but you're playing it for the love of the game. And when you're playing for the love of the game, I think that really what you're playing for is for the fun of the game. And at that point, it seems to me that you really want to play it at a level where you get enough players. And so I'm with Terry at the point where I guess I'm somewhat evolutionary, that you make as few changes as possible to keep the game, I guess, pure. Because I think you're going to retain the most players that way. As far as Sandhurst specifically, by the way, I faced that deck and I did lose to it in the semifinals. Now, personally, I feel I got unlucky. And you can ask Yik. Our game was really close, and that sigh of relief he let out when he beat me in game three was a big sigh of relief. So I feel that he probably felt that I maybe got a little unlucky as well. So I don't think that deck needs errata as it was in 98. Now, what appeared in 99, however, and what came in 99. Yeah. Now that needs to be errata. There's just too much garbage that was released. And I believe that was because WotC no longer cared about the game at that point, which was actually the reason for why I left. I probably would have never left BattleTech if it wasn't for the fact that they actually didn't care about the game anymore. And when we showed up to the tournament with only 20 players left in the tournament center, and all 20 of us showed up with Bulldog decks, that's when I knew that the game, A, was dead, and B, that we were in trouble. And that was actually when I pulled the ripcord.
By the way, we have three fixes for the Sandhurst deck that are making the rounds, that we're trying to figure out which might work best. I'd be interested in your opinion. So here are the three. So the first one, the first two target the Sandhurst card itself. The first one simply says make it unique.
Okay.
And the second one says add a little line in there that says the mech is now considered piloted. And the effect of that would be that you can't, if you have two Sandhursts in play, you can't stack them both on the same unit, because once you put the first one in, the unit is now piloted.
Correct.
And you cannot put the second one.
So yeah, those are
two ideas we have for Sandhurst. The third idea targets the card Hidden Reserves by nerfing it possibly extensively.
Yes, I believe Hidden Reserves is actually the problem card.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe, as a matter of fact, Terry, you probably think that's a problem card as well, correct?
Yeah, in Magic we call it Ancestral Recall. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It turns out that thinning your deck is pretty powerful. Yeah, right. No, I think that card was completely busted. I actually think that's the problem card.
Interesting.
Not wanting to make light of the fun, but I mean I thought that card was so busted it's not even funny.
Yeah, because it combos with the zero cost cards. You can go play out your whole hand and then use one deploy to draw three. Powerful.
That's what escalates the whole entire deck. That's what puts the deck into orbit.
Right.
Sandhurst itself is actually not really the problem. First of all, Sandhurst can be hunted, right? So, I mean, the thing is that thing is not the problem.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. So, Peter...
Wolf can kill the Sandhurst Academy.
Right. What was it? So, the of the three, the unique one was Mark's idea. The no double tapping one was my idea, but the Hidden Reserves idea is actually something that recently came to Peter. His idea to nerf it at a basic level was just to reduce it from 3 cards to 2 cards, which means it replaces itself and then gives you 1 more, not 2 more.
I'm not so sure that it shouldn't be banned, to be honest. Just personal opinion. I think it is a completely broken card, and I think that was one of the times where they probably should not have made that card. Because Ancestral is banned for a reason, right?
My theory was, yeah, but Ancestral is banned because there's no card building limit in Magic, which there is in Battletech. I guess, of course, you've got free to play cards. My theory was that you could still make the Sandhurst deck work using dropship sites. But I guess, of course, the challenge with that is that the dropship site can be hunted before it pays itself back.
Correct. Yep.
So personally, I think limiting it to one is the same as banning the card. With one,
I agree.
You can't really play it. There's no point.
No, right.
The piloted one seems like the smallest possible change, and it seems reasonable. You don't often use 2 Sandhurst, but I agree that's pretty broken when it happens. And so I think that's a reasonable change that tunes the power as an errata without making a major change. So I would go with that one. In terms of the resource, you know, the hidden reserves, I think it just doesn't cost enough, right? If it costs 2, that might be enough as well.
That was actually my thought for hidden reserves, just make it cost 2 and still draw 3. But Peter's opinion was that drawing 3 was the problem. It didn't matter how much it cost in the 1 or the 2.
Yeah, for people listening, when you're saying Peter, you're talking about Peter Tremko.
Peter Tremko, yes.
So just Peter so people aren't kind of connected.
I apologize, yes.
No.
Nubby. I say ban.
Right.
Okay.
The challenge with the I think the piece of information that is most pro the idea of nerfing hidden reserves as opposed to nerfing Sandhurst is the second place Steiner Bulldog Oop Swarm from 99. I'm wondering if you guys have any opinion on that one. I don't know if you were there. I know Peter, you were there.
I drew myself into 9th place. I feel that we had the best deck. It's the 3rd place deck. My one of my best friends, Dave Hymas, played it. He got extremely unlucky in the semifinals, and he still almost won. I literally have not seen anybody gotten that unlucky playing.
Because the Bulldog Oops deck that came into 2nd place uses free deploy and hidden reserves, but crucially does not use Sandhurst and still did extraordinarily well.
And that's because the Bulldogs were as busted as they were. Now, of course, once again, Wolf hunts Bulldogs just fine. So that's why we did fine against them.
It didn't have any Bulldogs in it.
No, correct. It was a no Bulldog Bulldog thing.
Right. It's using. Let's see, 22 free deploy units.
Yeah, it was a free deploy deck.
It's a free deploy. 22 free deploys, 10 non-free deploys, and then some hidden reserves, and that's basically it.
Correct.
And so I think that's the strongest argument that suggests that Peter Tremko is right, that hidden reserves is the problem.
No, it suggests that Peter Sundholm is correct, ban hidden reserves.
I wouldn't go that far. I think once you don't have any card drawing, you eliminate whole classes of decks. I think that would be a mistake. I think it just needs a tuning, not a destruction. But I also think the problem is that some of the other decks just don't have enough powerful cards. Right, I would like to see more games where people are playing 7-8 cost mechs, and there's just real no way to make those work.
Right.
Yeah, not in the current setup.
Yeah, yet alone a 13 cost mech.
Yeah, I spent some time with Mark Roberts with SillyWiz trying to work out some errata for the key issues. We still haven't fully settled on an answer. We ended up targeting war funds, and I'd be interested in your opinion on war funds. I think the challenge with war funds is that it is always the right choice in every situation. It appears in every single deck. It is always the right answer to asset screw, to deck thinning.
Terry, I can pop up the card image on the
I have it. It's a great card. I mean,
also a card that needed to go. There's a reason why we played multiples of all of those.
I had, here's what I came up with. I'm interested in your opinion. So the two changes, the first change was that the scrap ability required tapping as well. So you couldn't use it to bootstrap by tapping and then scrapping, getting a resource and tapping that. That was the first thing, just to reduce the tempo of the card. The second thing I changed what in it was to say, it only works on resources that provide assets. So for example, you cannot use it on Solaris Contacts. You can still use it on improved construction site, but there are a couple of combinations that breaks if you can't grab Solaris contacts with it.
Now, what happened to the think tank got restricted, right?
Which one?
Think tank?
No, think tank's still around. It's just never the right answer compared to war funds.
We played one.
I know, yeah. We played one at think tank. Okay, that's right. We restricted it down to one because we had war funds instead. Okay, I was trying to remember why we played only one versus the war funds.
Yeah, so we played five war funds and one
think tank. Yeah, correct. Okay, right. So that's why we played the one think tank. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, war funds is too powerful. But I think when you're nerfing a card, the temptation is to nerf it really hard, right? Yeah, it's to take it down. Like you're punishing that card for the many years of play, right? And instead of nerfing it twice, I think even just causing it to tap just to search your stockpile is enough.
The reason why
yeah, the tap is that, probably good enough.
Yeah,
the tap. The reason why I added that is because of something that I haven't told you, so you wouldn't know why.
Okay.
We also targeted Solaris contacts.
I don't know that card. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's. I don't remember that card.
Solaris contacts.
It just came because they were out of the game by that time, Michael.
Yeah, I was gonna say Solaris, must have been right at the time that I left the game.
It's a MechWarrior card. It's a resource one and some T inner sphere. Tap for resource. Tap play a.
Pilot for free. Yeah, that's
pilot
right.
For free.
Yeah, it was in the pilot deck. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Oh, I hated that card. That was the only card that could beat my deck. Yeah,
that's how they got Kai into play. Okay,
right.
I remember the change
that I proposed was that if you use it on a unique pilot, you have to remove it from the game afterwards. And so if you combine that with the change to war funds, which means that you can't use war funds to get the next Solaris out of your deck and use it, that combined nerf.
That's right. That's how they had the war funds to go get the Solaris.
Solaris, that's right.
And get the pilots into play. Okay, that's why the pilot deck worked.
Removing it from the game after a unique pilot doesn't help you if you can just war funds for the next one, right? You're not going to try to get more than three or four unique pilots into play in a game. And so adding that second nerf to war funds makes it unable to track Solaris contact. So now you've got a much more reasonable situation. You have to play enough Solaris contacts that you can actually expect to get it. And even if you do get it, if your goal is to put heavy unique pilots into play, it's still only a one shot.
Yeah, I mean, I see those as being separate things. I don't like Solaris contacts because it adds an incredible amount of luck to the game, that drawing those two things together. And it's also very prone if someone is setting their deck.
Yeah, like, War Funds is a different problem.
Yeah, War Funds is a different problem. So I wouldn't do that. I think that would not be a good game design. If Solaris Contacts is the problem, nerf that. I mean, one of the problems is that you can use it every turn, right? If instead you can only use it once, that seems, you know, it's just a free deploy. It costs you a card. That seems fair. That would be much better as opposed to someone using it two or three times in one game. That's too much. But the War Funds is really about making the game playable. Without War Funds, I don't know how you can actually build a three-color deck or a three-resource deck.
You can do it you can do it with the evolutionary approach if you complete the set of dual asset resources.
Sure. So you can replace it. But
Comstar support. You can do it with War Funds with the nerf. It still works. You can do it with Think Tank, and you can do it with the existing like PTLM MP.
Okay, so I guess my opinion is I would not nerf War Funds twice. I would try to keep it minimal because it's a common, everyone has it, and it makes the game more fun. It's the thing that allows you to play a more complex, more interesting deck. So if you get rid of that too hard, and then you have to print a bunch of new cards and stuff like that, you know, I think you make the game worse by doing that, right? It's really better. Like, I don't think like someone plays War Funds, you go, oh my God, another War Funds deck. Like, I don't know that ever anyone feels that way. They just say, oh, okay, you got to play the deck the way you intended. That's what makes a good game. Who wants
it's
to sit
infrastructure
there in their hand that they can't use? That infrastructure is one of the things that makes Magic less fun, is the mana screw. It avoids that, right? So, but Solaris Contacts is a different case. Making that work only once, I think that would be a good change.
Yeah, I'm with Terry. I wholeheartedly agree. Because the whole part is once again, you're not playing for thousands of dollars. You're playing the game for fun.
Right.
And taking the fun away is no good.
I mean, but that actually goes right back to the argument of the static folks. If you're just playing the game for fun, why don't you just dodge the parts of the meta that are unpleasant? My argument against that has always been, I don't want... So let's take the Sandhurst deck, right? So we can dodge the Santos deck. We can say, yes, we know the Santos deck works. Congratulations, like you win a trophy. Now put it away and don't bring it back out again, right? That would be the approach that you would take in that scenario. But I would say, actually, no. Like, I like the combo that the Sandhurst deck represents. I just don't want it to be that powerful. Like, I don't want you to have to put it aside because it's broken. I want you to bring it in, but it not to be broken. So it's still like a...
Now, that is where the argument that it is broken, though. I personally don't think it's broken.
You just target the hidden reserves and you think that would be sufficient.
Correct.
Fair enough.